Welcome to Wednesday's edition of the Back Pages. My name is Ned Dunn, and I am so happy to be with you today. It is Wednesday, May 1st, first day of the month, and the 121st day of the year. It's National Loyalty Day, National Chocolate Parfait Day, National Law Day, National Silver Star Service Day, National School Principals Day, it's National Mother Goose Day, and it is May Day. And now, let us go to the Hartford Current, check out today's horoscopes, and maybe it'll help us plan our day. We shall begin with Aries, March 21st through April 19th. You may feel obligated to follow the crowd regarding a financial choice today. Look closer. Is whatever your friends want you to do even that important to them? Or is it just a passing whim? Don't let your pride make this provocation a bigger deal than it needs to be. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th. Proving your worth with some consequential achievement may seem like a high priority. Although you might think this sounds like settling for less than you're capable of, it is possible to strive for more without denigrating what you have. An attitude of gratitude can go far. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th. Uncovering the truth about some situation could feel urgent. Perhaps the greatest obstacle to the clarity you seek is an overly obsessive approach. The answers you need can flow toward you when you give your quest a rest. Be especially careful to avoid scaring people away. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd. Consequential issues are likely to command your attention today. Knowing the limits of your authority will be key to finding peace. You are not responsible for whether or not your companions choose to pursue a deeper approach to life. So don't put that incredible burden on yourself. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd. The outside world may presently envy one of your close relationships. Sadly, their admiring comments are likely to grate on you. You might decide to keep the difficult details to yourself, but understanding why you made that choice for yourself should be empowering. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd. Questioning your relentless worth ethic can show you needed perspective. An invitation to get out of your usual routine and do something fun could threaten your careful plans for the day. Use your intuition to determine which of the tasks on your to-do list are truly urgent. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd. Having fun may not be as innocent as it appears at the moment. Although allowing your inner child to come out is healthy, there's a point where it crosses the line into destructive childishness. If a loved one is a priority for you, step up before you push them away. And Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st. Getting to know someone better could be exciting now. How candid should you be? Being vulnerable with the goal that the other person will feel sorry for you and do what you want would not be a good look. Think carefully about what you hope to get out of sharing an upsetting story before you proceed. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st. You may currently crave a break from your responsibilities. That's totally understandable. Old resentments could come to mind, but trying to prove that others owe you for some long infraction probably won't pay off. Focus on what works in the present moment. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th. Having fun could currently be a high priority for you. Maybe this isn't an entirely bad thing. Although having structure in your financial life is important, it needs to be based on reality. Analyze your accounts. You'll be pleased to learn that you have room to give a little. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th. Putting on an intimidating face could seem necessary now. You'll potentially try to convince another person that they have a duty to take care of you because you are vulnerable. Watch out. Tying down someone who doesn't want to be there is likely to backfire. And finally, Pisces, February 19th through March 20th. Talking to hear yourself talk is a risk today. Engaging in a compulsive chatter could seem like a welcome distraction. This approach is not necessarily wrong, as long as your conversation partner is willing. Perhaps you'll both get something positive from the exchange. Take your tactic for what it is, though. And those are my friends of the horoscopes for Wednesday, March 1st. And now it's time to take a look at our late-night television choices. On ABC, Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy's guests are Ryan Gosling and Jeff Ross. On NBC, The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. The guests are Doja Cat and Winston Duke. Over on CBS, Stephen Colbert. The guests are Carol Burnett, Phil Keegan, and Jacob Collier. Later on CBS, After Midnight, the guests are Trevor Wallace, London Hughes, and Affion Crockett. Later on NBC, Seth Meyers, his guests are Orlando Bloom, Nuti Gatwa, and Queen Cora Coleman. On Bravo, Watch What Happens Live, Andy's guests are Jim Gaffigan and Kira Sedgwick. And Comedy Central, The Daily Show is preempted tonight. And those, my friends, are the late-night television choices. And now let's take a look at today's almanac. In 1486, Christopher Columbus presented plans for discovering a western route to the Indies to Queen Isabella. Well, that was put on hold until 1492, as we all know. In 1707, the Kingdom of Great Britain was formed with the Act of Union joining England and Scotland. In 1807, the slave trade was abolished in the British Empire. Slavery was still around, but no more slave trade. In 1840, the first adhesive postage stamp was issued in the United Kingdom, and it was called the Penny Black. 1915, the RMS Lusitania departed New York City. 6 days later, it would be torpedoed off the coast of Ireland, where nearly 1,200 people would die. 1931, the Empire State Building was dedicated in New York City. 1956, the polio vaccine was made available to the public. In 1960, the Soviet Union shot down an American U-2 reconnaissance plane, in other words, a spy plane, over Sverdlovsk and captured its pilot, Francis Gary Powers. In 1963, James W. Whitaker became the first American to conquer Mount Everest as he and his Sherpa guide Nawangambu reached the summit. 1971, the Intercity Passenger Rail Service Amtrak went into operation. And in 2011, President Barack Obama announced the death of Osama bin Laden during a U.S. commando operation. Births on the state, 1857. Vincent van Gogh's brother Theo was born. He was an art dealer, and he protected his brother who was dealing with mental illness and bought many, many of his paintings. He died at 33, just 6 months after Vincent died. Jack Paar, 1918. You may or may not remember him, but he was the first host of The Tonight Show. The author Joseph Heller of Catch-22 and other books was born in 1923. Scott Carpenter, one of the first Mercury astronauts, was born in 1925. The folk singer Judy Collins is 85 today. Rita Coolidge, the singer, is 79. Ray Parker Jr., who brought us the theme to the movie Ghostbusters, who you gonna call, is 70. The singer and actor Tim McGraw is 57. The director and screenwriter Wes Anderson is 55. And the actor Jamie Dornan is 42 years old today. Happy birthday to them and anyone else celebrating a birthday. And now let's turn to the Hartford Current and the Ask Amy Advice column. Headline today, Do-It-Yourself Downsizers Not Up to Code. Dear Amy, my friends want to downsize for retirement, but the major repairs needed on their house will prevent them from making enough on the sale to buy their next place. They asked me to brainstorm options, and one idea I had was to convert the basement level into a rentable apartment so they can use the rental income to complete the repairs on their home over time. We did some quick math, and their next step was to talk to their financial planner. Now, they decided to go for it, but in my opinion, they are making all the wrong decisions. They're using a handyman and doing a lot of work themselves to avoid filing for permits and to keep the cost lower. I am deeply concerned that they will end up struggling to rent the unit if it appears unsafe, plus losing money on the ultimate sale, and it will all be because of my suggestion. They haven't asked for my opinion again. I believe they're cutting too many corners. I really want them to succeed with this, and I also do not want them to resent taking my advice. Should I butt in? Signed, Worried for Friends. Dear Worried, you were brainstorming with your friends and offered your advice. I assume that other ideas were bandied about during their brainstorming session. They made a choice to adopt your idea, and now they are enacting it in their own way. It is no longer your idea, but theirs. If they don't follow safety guidelines, they might have a bigger problem on their hands than creating an unappealing rental unit. The unit needs to be safe for occupancy. Doing things right now will also avoid repair problems later and will increase the overall value of their property. When I feel compelled to offer advice, an occupational hazard, I start by asking, are you willing to hear some unsolicited advice? Then wait for the answer. Some people say no. If they welcome your feedback, you should offer it this one time, and then leave it completely alone, unless they ask for your opinion. Our next letter today, dear Amy. 2 years ago, my good friends that lived across the street moved away. The next summer, I invited the new family, Family A, along with three other neighboring families, over for a cookout. Everything went well. It was a fun evening. One of the other families that I invited, Family B, was also new. A and B live across the street from me, next door to each other. What I don't understand is why neither of these new neighbors has ever invited me and my husband over, not even for a cup of coffee. When Family B had a baby, I stopped by and dropped off a card and a gift. That was the only time I was invited into their house. They did send me a thank you card afterward. For the last 2 years, I've seen families A and B get together throughout the summer. I don't get it. They are smile and wave neighbors, but don't seem interested in becoming friends. My husband thinks it's because they have younger kids. Our youngest children are 13-year-old twins. It makes me sad. Why is it so difficult to make new friends as adults? Signed, Missing My Friends. Dear Missing, making new friends as adults is indeed extremely challenging, but I believe that making new friends is challenging at any age. Falling into friendship is like falling in love. It has to do with chemistry. Two friendships is rare. You got so lucky with your previous neighbors, and you are proving that you are a kind and generous neighbor on the block. But these younger families are bonded together by their younger kids, and they obviously share a rapport. Please don't take this personally. You are not doing anything wrong. They are also not doing anything wrong. And our last letter today, Dear Amy, Snapped At described how his girlfriend is not particularly nice to her mother and grandmother, and how she exhibits some of this behavior toward him. You should have advised him to run, not walk. Signed, Concerned. Dear Concerned, witnessing someone you care about being mean to anyone is a definite red flag. Before running, I think he should call her on it. And that, my friends, is Ask Amy for today. And from the living section of today's Hartford Current, the X Etiquette column. Headline, X's inclusion in wedding party about sister, her fiancé's relationship with man. Here's today's question. My sister is getting married, and her fiancé has asked my ex to be his best man. My ex and I do not get along very well, and I have asked her fiancé to reconsider many times, but he refuses to consider how I might feel. I am also in the wedding party, as well as my two children, ages 10 and 12. Plus, there are other former couples who are invited who also don't get along with their exes. What can I do? What's good ex etiquette? And here's the answer. Many divorced people feel, as you do, they expect their relatives' allegiance after their breakup, and if I don't get along with them, you can't either. Some feel, if you love me, you wouldn't side with that jerk. Truth is, it's not that your sister or her fiancé don't love you, or that they are siding with someone else. It's that they've formed a relationship with your ex over the years that's completely separate from their relationship with you. And so, they may not realize how insulted you feel. Sometimes we have to stand back and really look at why we're so offended. It may have something to do with expecting those you love to line up on your side. And when they don't, or at least to the degree that you want them to, it just adds up to the hurt of the breakup. But there's more here. You didn't say if your ex was your children's father, but let's say he is. That means if your kids are 10 and 12, your ex could have been in your relatives' lives for almost 15 years, maybe more. Plus, over the years, he has become your sister's fiancé's best friend. If we are putting the children first, your sister and future brother-in-law recognize that your ex is not merely your ex, but also their father. Your sister and her future husband understand the need to continue positive interaction for the sake of the kids. That is why we have to separate out all these relationships and let them exist on their own. We cannot control how others act, just as we would not want them to dictate how we act. Bottom line, in this day and age of 50% divorce rate, if people start eliminating someone's ex from the invitation list, very few people would be invited. That's why it's best that your sister invite everyone she wants to invite and then let them decide if they want to attend. Out of respect for the bride and the groom, everyone who attends should act like adults and be respectful. Now is when the adults must set the example. Continuing with the living section, the article has a headline, Her Kindness Shows, Teacher Helping Diverse Students and Families Thrive in Rural Tennessee. When Ali Aglan joined Missy Testerman's second grade class, his family had just moved from Egypt to rural East Tennessee, where his parents now run an Italian restaurant. Coming home from school one day in the town of Rogersville, he told his mother that no one would talk to him. He said, "I have no friends there." He was crying. "It broke my heart," Rabab Aglan said. So she called the teacher. I don't know what she did, but a few days later, he came home and said, "Now I have a lot of friends." Testerman recently was named the 2024 National Teacher of the Year. Those who know Testerman say, that's no wonder. Having become familiar with the magic she works in the classroom each day, Testerman has a special affinity for children from other cultures, who comprise just a fraction of the 650 students at the pre-K to 8 Rogersville City School. That is why, after 30 years of teaching first and second grade, Testerman got an endorsement to teach English as a second language. Ali Aglan is now a senior in high school, sorting through college offers. But Testerman is still helping the family. His sister Jasmine is now Testerman's ESL student. Testerman was chosen to receive the national title from among the state teachers of the year. First Lady Jill Biden surprised Testerman during a nationally televised appearance with a bouquet of flowers and the news that she and the nation's other top teachers would be treated to a state dinner at the White House. "I'm a teacher, as you well know, and I've been teaching over 30 years, just like Missy has. And I always say teachers are our heroes," Biden said. As Teacher of the Year, Testerman will spend a year traveling the country as an ambassador, urging other teachers to become strong advocates for their students and fellow educators. Testerman said in her finalist application that it seems at times that state legislatures across the country are passing laws that do not address actual problems in education. Schools had to hire someone to scan every book in the building under the guise that pornography is lurking in a kindergarten classroom, yet we do not have funding to hire a behaviorist to help with the kindergartners, who are disrupting classrooms every day, she wrote. Part of this dilemma is our own fault. It is time that we educate those who make policies that affect our students. Over decades of teaching, Testerman developed a knack for celebrating differences while emphasizing the shared humanity of all those she works with. As a second grade teacher, She created a curriculum using a diverse array of famous Americans that blends literacy and social studies. Today, she works with 21 children whose first language is not English. She said her students speak 5 different languages, with their families hailing from 5 countries on 4 continents. Among them are children just beginning to learn English and older children close to mastery of English. Watching a child acquire another language is an amazing, magical transformation, Testerman said. There's a level of excitement in a learner when they realize they are able to understand the language they are hearing around them. ESL instruction for those with little or no English begins with using pictures and hand gestures to teach words for simple, everyday objects such as books and pencils. Then she moves to simple sentences like, I have a pencil, I have a computer, I have a black computer, Testerman said. The first full sentence she teaches students with no English is, may I please use the bathroom? It may sound trivial, but it's vitally important for her students, along with basic phrases like, I need some water, please, or I need a pencil, please, she said. Just to see how they light up at being able to give themselves a voice is just incredible, she said. Testerman also developed close ties with the families of her students. She goes out of her way to help them navigate American culture and integrate into the community. That includes things like teaching them about the local library system or the post office. She also takes steps to help her longtime neighbors in this Appalachian town of about 4,500 people to accept the newcomers. Simple gestures such as sitting with my students' families at high school graduation or a school play goes a long way in helping them find acceptance in our rural area. Since I have belonged to this community for decades and others trust my lead, Testerman wrote in her finalist application. Her kindness shows. Her compassion is really deep, said sophomore Nadine Aglan, who is the sister of Ali and Jasmine, and had Testerman as a second grade teacher. Testerman said she primarily uses a translation app to communicate with her students' parents. It works well, although it's not perfect. After she was announced as a finalist, she got a really sweet note from a mama about all the things I had done for her child, she said. But with one language gaffe, the opening line was, congratulations for nothing. And some celebrity news. Actor Ashley Judd, whose allegations against movie mogul Harvey Weinstein helped spark the Me Too movement, spoke out Monday on the rights of women and girls to control their own bodies and be free from male violence. A goodwill ambassador for the UN Population Fund, she addressed the UN General Assembly's commemoration of the 30th anniversary of the landmark document adopted by 179 countries at its 1994 conference in Cairo, which for the first time recognized that women have the right to control their reproductive and sexual health, and to choose if and when to become pregnant. Judd called the program of action a glorious, aspirational document that has been imprinted into my psyche and has guided my 20 years of traveling the world, drawing needed attention to and uplifting sexual and reproductive health and rights in slums, brothels, refugee and internally displaced camps, schools, and drop-in centers. The Cairo conference changed the focus of the UN Population Fund from numerical targets to promoting choices for individual women and men and supporting economic development and education for girls. Underlying the shift was research showing that educated women have smaller families. And good news for Britney Spears and her father, Jamie. They have settled all the ugly and revealing problems they had with the conservatorship that they had. Well, that is all the time we have for Wednesday's edition of the Back Pages. I hope you have a great day and an even better tomorrow.